Chapter 12. The Need for Biblical Women.
There was an old man who lay dying in his bed. And in the midst of death's agony, he suddenly smelled the aroma of his favorite chocolate chip cookies wafting up the stairs. So he gathered his remaining strength and lifted himself from the bed. Leaning against the wall, he slowly made his way out of the bedroom, and with even greater effort forced himself down the stairs, gripping the railing with both hands. He crawled downstairs. With labored breath, he leaned against the door frame, gazing into the kitchen. And were it not for death's agony, he would have thought himself already in heaven, because there, spread out upon waxed paper on the kitchen table, were literally hundreds of his favorite chocolate chip cookies. Was it heaven? Was it heaven? Or was it one final act of heroic love from his devoted wife, seeing to it that he left this world a happy man? Surely this must be the reason. So mustering one great final effort, he threw himself toward the table, landing on his knees in a rumpled posture. His parched lips parted.
The wondrous taste of the cookie was already in his mouth, seemingly bringing him back to life. His aged and withered hand trembled on its way to a cookie at the edge of the table, when suddenly it was smacked with a spatula by his wife, who said, "Stay out of those, they're for the funeral."
Now, how many of you guys would say that couple's marriage probably wasn't going to end on a very good note? The spatula gave it away, didn't it? And how many of you guys have learned that when it comes to marriage, rather than being filled with lots of chocolate confections, sometimes it's filled with lots of crumbled expectations? And I guess that's why one guy said, "Marriage is the only sport in which the trapped animal has to buy the license." But seriously, is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden? Folks, I'm here to tell you that the answer is absolutely not. Yes, Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden, and along with this, they also blew the chance of having a perfect marriage. But the good news is that even though you and I may never have a perfect marriage, it doesn't mean that we've got to resign ourselves to a life of personal pain and silent suffering. It just means that it's going to take some time and lots of work. Why? Because folks, marriages aren't made in heaven, they're made right here on earth. Therefore, we're going to continue looking at the steps for having a marriage built to last. We already saw the first step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge that marriage is under attack. The second step was to acknowledge that men and women are different. The third step was to acknowledge that love is an action. The fourth step was to acknowledge the need for romance. The fifth step was to acknowledge the need for communication. The sixth step was to acknowledge the need for reconciliation. The seventh step was to acknowledge the need for honor. The eighth step was to acknowledge the need for intimacy. And last time we saw that the ninth step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge the need for biblical men. And there we saw that if marriages and society are going to be put back on the right track, then we need men who will be leaders. And not just any leaders, but ones who are sacrificial, spiritual, secure and sensitive. But people, that's not the only thing we need to be aware of. The tenth step in building a lasting marriage is to acknowledge the need for biblical women. People, another reason why we're seeing not only marital decay but societal decay as well is simply because women are refusing to be women. And if that wasn't bad enough, even when women try to become women, society is out there giving them the wrong definition or role model of what a true woman is. For instance, most people think that a true woman is like Murphy Brown, who downplays being a traditional homemaker and only needs a man when it comes to the bedroom. Or maybe a true woman is like Helen Reddy, who's a loud, independent, rough, tough lady declaring to the world that she is woman, she is strong, and she can chew on 16 penny nails all day long. Or maybe a true woman is like Roseanne Barr, who's a sarcastic negative woman that cuts people down with her verbal assaults, letting everyone know just who's the real boss. Now, does that sound familiar? Of course it does, because these are society's role models for women. But folks, I hope this doesn't come as a surprise to you, but did you know that none of those ladies are real women? Maybe in the world's eyes, but not in God's. You see, if marriages are going to be restored and society put back on the right track, then we don't have a need for more worldly women, we have a desperate need for more biblical women. So just what does a biblical woman look like? Hey, great question. I'm glad you asked. Let's take a look. The first characteristic of a biblical woman is that she's a nurturing support.
Genesis 2:18, 22-23. And the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a companion who will help him." Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to Adam. "At last," Adam exclaimed, "she is part of my own flesh and bone. she will be called woman, because she was taken out of a man.
Now we all know women have a certain mysteriousness about them, right, ladies? For instance, why is it that a woman can take boiling hot wax, pour it on their upper thigh, rip the hair out by the root, and yet still be afraid of a spider? That's pretty mysterious. But according to our text, one thing that shouldn't be a mystery is how the woman or wife is called to be the nurturing support of the family. In fact, women being the support system of the home has been God's plan from the very beginning of time. Why? Well, thanks for asking. The first reason why women are called to be a support system is because it's woven into your name. You see, the word mother in the Hebrew literally means wide in the hips, or literally a support. Therefore, a mother is the foundation or support system that internally keeps the home from falling apart. And think of the wisdom of God here. The husband is called to provide and protect the outside of the home, while the wife is called to support and build the inside of the home. Both ministries are needed for a healthy home. Oh, but that's not all. The second reason why women are called to be a support system is because it's woven into your nature. You see, women in general tend to be more detailed, sympathetic, and expressive with their emotions. And this just happens to come in handy for providing the necessary internal care for the well-being of a family. And this care isn't just for the kids, but for men as well. And ladies, you may not know that, because we men usually won't admit that we need your help. For instance, when a man says, "I'm not lost. I know exactly where we are," he really means, "No one will ever see us alive again." We won't admit the truth. Or when a man says, "Oh, don't fuss. I just cut myself. It's no big deal," he really means, "I have actually severed a limb, and will bleed to death before I admit I'm hurt." Or when a man says, "Will you marry me?" he really means, "Both my roommates have moved out, I can't find the washer, and there's no more peanut butter." Face it, ladies, we need you. And that's why the scripture says that it's not good for men to be alone. How many of you have learned that one? Therefore, God created a helpmate for man, you the woman, to provide the necessary internal care for the well-being of the family. However, even though God has wired women to be a nurturing support, that doesn't mean all women are nurturing supporters. Have you noticed that? And why is that? Thanks for asking. The first reason why some women never become nurturing supporters is because of the sin nature. You see, being a wife and mother is a lot of hard work that keeps you on the run, so sometimes you're tempted to look elsewhere for nothing but fun, and instead of investing your nurturing care into the needs of the family, you're tempted to spend it on the frills of society. Oh, but that's not all. The second reason why some women never become nurturing supporters is because of our sinful society. You see, our sinful society is out there encouraging women right and left to not be nurturing supporters of the home, but rather ladies who aren't tied down to anything and always on the roam. Our society would say that a woman who gets married and decides to be a stay-at-home mom is some sort of half-wit woman who is a disgrace to her gender. But I've got news for you people. The true influence and shaping of society doesn't start in the halls of learning but in the home. Ladies, whether you realize it or not, you wield a powerful influence upon the next generation. In fact, one man said this, "A godly mother is worth more than 100 clergy." And why is that true? Because that's where the influence is. Therefore, ladies, if any of you ever come across another woman who downplays the role of motherhood, then you need to do what this man's wife did.
Those who have made staying home and raising children a priority are often made to feel that their lives are being wasted, and that they could be doing more significant things. When I was a member of the sociology faculty at an Ivy League university, my wife and I were expected to attend get-togethers with my colleagues and their spouses. On more than one occasion, someone would ask my wife in what appeared to me to be a condescending manner, "And what is it you do, my dear?" My wife, who is one of the most articulate persons I know, found a perfect response for such occasions. In machine gun fashion, she would reply, "I am socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition, so they might be transformers of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia God willed for us from before the foundation of the earth." Then she would smile and ask, "And what is it you do?" The inquirer would usually look flustered and, rather meekly, say something like, "I teach sociology."
Ladies, whatever you do, don't give in to the lie of society that downplays your awesome ministry of a nurturing support system. Why? Because if you do, you'll not only be tricked into relinquishing your influential power, but your family and husband who needs your support will start to decay hour after hour. Folks, we don't need any more worldly women, we need biblical women, women who will support in a nurturing way. The second characteristic of a biblical woman is that she's a respectful support.
Ephesians 5:33. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Now we all know women have a certain practicality about them, right, ladies? For instance, do you know what would have happened if there'd been three wise women instead of three wise men? They would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought practical gifts. 9 And according to our text, another practical ministry for the woman is that she is called to be a respectful support. You see, God has not only called women to support their families with their internal care, but with their attitudes as well. They are to respect the husband's role of spiritual leader and subject themselves to his direction. However, even though God has called women to respect their husbands, that doesn't mean all women are respectful supporters. Have you noticed that? And why is that? Thanks for asking. The first reason why some women never become respectful supporters is because of the sin nature. And so sometimes, because you might not like the particular decision or direction your husband is revealing, you're tempted to dig in your heels and start rebelling. Oh, but that's not all. The second reason why some women never become respectful supporters is because of our sinful society. You see, our sinful society is out there telling women to not be respectful supporters of God's design for marriage. Why? Because they say the roles aren't the same, and this is unfair discrimination. But people, the roles aren't the same because men and women aren't the same. How many of you can figure that out without any help? As we have seen throughout this book, God has wired men and women differently on purpose. And even though we're uniquely different, each of our roles are equally important. And for some reason our society refuses to see this and instead hones in on the one role of the man being the leader of the family and declares that somehow this is undemocratic and a violation of a woman's value. But people, it has nothing to do with personal value, it has everything to do with positive order. You see, without order you go into chaos. And if two people are trying to lead, you end up with a two-headed monster. For instance, if two generals were barking out two different orders, what would happen to the troops? They'd go into chaos. Or if two managers put out two different memos, what would happen? You'd have confusion, right? So why is it we think we can have two totally independent leaders in the home without having chaos or confusion? And ladies, this does not mean, as society would say, that you have become some sort of mindless blind slave taking all kinds of abuse. No. The Bible says to handle it this way: if your husband isn't leading the way God says he should, then don't push the man out of the way and take the lead, but rather respect his position and go to God and begin to plead.
1 Peter 3:1-2. Wives, respect and obey your husbands in the same way. Then the husbands who do not obey the word of God will want to know God. They will want to know God because their wives live good lives, even though they say nothing about God. They will see that you live holy lives and respect your husbands.
Ladies, if you're fearful that your husband is not being a very godly leader, then put the fear of God in him. And the way you do that is by your respectful godly behavior and your prayers. You see, God isn't asking you to become a mindless slave. But rather he is asking you to trust him that if he has called men to lead, then don't you think he'll give them the wisdom to do so? Prayer and trust is the key. Folks, we don't need any more worldly women, we need biblical women, women who will support in a respectful way. The third characteristic of a biblical woman is that she's an encouraging support.
Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them.
Now we all know women have certain unique abilities that no man will ever have, right, ladies? For instance, a woman knows all about her children. She knows about dentist appointments, romances, best friends, favorite foods, secret fears, hopes and dreams. And a man? He's vaguely aware that there's some short people living in the house. That's pretty unique, isn't it? And according to our text, another unique ministry for the woman is that she is called to be an encouraging support. You see, God has not only called women to support their families with their care and attitudes, but with their words as well. They're to use their communication skills to encourage their husbands in a discouraging world. However, even though God has called women to encourage their husbands, that doesn't mean all women are encouraging supporters. Have you noticed that? And why is that? Thanks for asking. The first reason why some women never become encouraging supporters is because of the sin nature. You see, even though men tend to be physically stronger, ladies, you tend to be verbally stronger. Therefore, in times of conflict, a man can sinfully use his fists on a woman. But a woman in times of conflict can sinfully use her words, leaving behind just as much pain on a man. Oh, but that's not all. The second reason why some women never become encouraging supporters is because of our sinful society. You see, our sinful society is out there telling women to not be encouraging supporters but rather sarcastic shredders. The media has downplayed the value of a man for so long that most women are convinced that most men are just a bunch of dumb duped idiots who are easy prey to make fun of. And so now the temptation to shred men apart is doubly hard because it's not only coming from the sin nature but society as well. And all the while, most women are oblivious to its harmful effects. You see, many ladies wonder why their husbands have tuned them out or have become cold toward them or don't want to spend time with them like they used to. And many ladies wonder why their husband is no longer that soft, cuddly teddy bear he used to be and has now instead become a prickly porcupine. But the question that needs to be asked is, where'd he get the quills? And ladies, I don't know if you're aware of this, but did you know that nothing improves a man's sense of hearing like a little praise? Why? Because words of encouragement are like oxygen to our soul. Therefore, ladies, you don't need to drive your horse with a whip, instead use the oat bag. Think about it. It's a whole lot easier and much more effective. Why? Because people have a way of becoming what you encourage them to be, not what you nag them to be. And ladies, this is your choice. You can either verbally support your husband from the heart or verbally shred him apart, one word at a time. Folks, we don't need any more worldly women, we need biblical women, women who will support in an encouraging way. Women of God, learning to be biblical women is at the heart of having a healthy marriage. Why? Because God has not only wired you for this special ministry, but He's also given men a natural attraction to all of these qualities. You see, most men aren't drawn to a Murphy Brown who rejects traditional motherhood for her own sinful fancies. But they are drawn to a woman who uses her nurturing influence to mold the next generation for the betterment of society. And most men aren't drawn to an independent and demanding Helen Reddy. But they are drawn to a woman who respects their role of spiritual leadership and prays for them daily to be a godly man. And most men aren't drawn to a loud and sarcastic Roseanne Barr. But they are drawn to a woman who will use the power of her words to make him want to become a better man. And women, if you can do that, you're not only being obedient to God, but you'll be blessed by God with an intimacy from your husbands that you've never ever even dreamed of. How? By being biblical women. People of God, this is the great news. Being married doesn't mean your life is always going to be filled with personal pain and silent suffering. God never said that it'd be easy. He just said that it's going to take some time and lots of work. And if we'll just acknowledge the need for biblical women, then we're well on our way to having a marriage built to last.